The author of this poem is M.W. Braman. It's entitled, The Father's Prayer. Father, as this boy looks up to me for guidance and my help implores, I bring him now in prayer to thee. He trusts my strength as I trust yours. Hold thou my hand as I hold his, and so guide me that I may guide. Teach me, Lord, that I may teach, and keep me free from foolish pride. Help me to help this boy mine to be him, to him a father true. Hold me, Lord, for everything as fast I hold my boy for you. Looking out over our audience, we don't have that many younger fathers here with children. But this is Father's Day. It's the Lord's Day primarily and first most. But it's also a day that we set aside to honor our fathers. We honored our mothers a few weeks ago. And Father's Day came about because of a lady thinking about her father. Spokane, Washington woman sat in church on Mother's Day in 1919, listening to a sermon full of adoration of motherhood. Her thoughts naturally wandered to her father, who single-handedly raised her and her five brothers after the death of their mother. She approached her minister with the idea of a special day to honor dads, and he helped her draft a resolution to the Spokane Ministerial Association. The support of the mayor and the YMCA was enlisted by her, and June had barely opened on the calendar of that same year when Spokane observed the first Father's Day. The first observance of truly national proportions was on the third Sunday in June of 1922, a day that has held ever since. And this information came from a publication by the name of Pulpit Helps. I think as we talk about responsibilities of father and honoring our fathers, perhaps we can also look at those of us who are grandfathers. We still have influence to some extent with our sons, probably to a greater extent with our grandchildren, our grandsons, our granddaughters. So we have those responsibilities. I'll be reading from an Old Testament scripture that will emphasize that in just a moment. But today across our country, children are honoring their fathers and wives are honoring their husbands, the fathers of their children. And as Christians, we need to show love and honor to our parents every day. Many of us have lost our parents. Some of you are still have your parents. We need to show that honor to them. On this day, we especially salute our fathers. I've got four boys. I have one who's reported in already this morning by telephone. We'll see how the day progresses. Sometimes it goes one way and goes the other. You think on Father's Day, if somebody wishes you happy Father's Day, you'd say, duh, I've got a father. But anyway, that's what we fathers and grandfathers hope for. But sometimes they're all caught up in being the fathers of their children. And that's their new life, after all. Responsibilities of being a father. Is there a responsibility that we did have as fathers and still have as grandfathers? Is there a role today for fathers, or has that role changed? Well, we see that role has changed, but not by design from God. It is changed by design of man. Perhaps for younger fathers, there's a need to discuss with the wife the needs that the children have that only a father can meet. Remember one time at Lipscomb in one of our education classes, or probably the only education class I had, the teacher, Thomas Whitfield, I don't know, some of you may remember him from Central Church downtown. He was speaking one day, and of course, when you get to college, you kind of think you know most everything, you know what. Graduated, after all, I graduated from high school. And one day he was saying, you know, there are certain things that you can't learn at certain points in your life. And I thought, well, you know, I can memorize it, you know, out of the book. But I raised my hand and I said, well, can you name one? He said, well, like being a grandparent. And he was right. I had no children at that time. I wasn't even married at that time. There were a whole lot of things I didn't understand. And some of you who are grandparents or older can feel the same way as that, I'm sure, or have felt that same way. This morning I want to think just briefly, just for a few moments, of the three B's, that is B-E, the three B's of being a father. First of all, as we look at our children, look at our grandchildren, we need to take care that we be an example for them. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In this chapter, there are a number of instructions given as to certain relationships, even back in the 5th chapter, duties of wives and husbands, of children here, of fathers, of servants. But in verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians 6, God's Word says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." We need to be an example. We need to teach our children, teach our grandchildren. There's still some teaching, I guess, we could do with our children by making suggestions. Back when they were growing up, suggestions weren't what I made. I went along with this scripture said it's that you need to honor your father and mother because it's right. Obey your parents because it's right. A lot of times I see today that one of the problems that younger people have, and probably it may be due to their parents, may be due to their grandparents, schools or whatever, but there's a lack of respect for people who are older. You get butted in on a lot of times when you're talking. I do. We've overheard a conversation where sometimes you want to interject yourself into the conversation, you have to hold yourself back. Of course, I had that same problem with some of my nieces and nephews when they were growing up too, but that's neither here nor there. But it says, "Ye fathers," this is the verse that I emphasize here, verse 4, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Hopefully we taught our sons that they were the leaders of the family, not only to get out to make a living and provide for that family, but also to provide spiritual leadership. To provide spiritual leadership. Someone put it this way, as far as a husband's role in the family. He's the scout of the family wagon train, the captain of the family ship, the pilot of the family plane, and the commander of the family army. But what scout or captain or pilot or commander is not daily ridden with overwhelming responsibilities and concerns? And two, if the scout misdirects, the wagon train will become lost. If the ship's captain plots the wrong course, the ship will wander aimlessly. If the pilot misreads the compass, the plane is destined to doom. If the army commander says attack when he should say retreat, how many lives may be lost? Never underestimate the influence that you have with a child. Whether you're a mother or father or grandparent, grandfather, grandmother, or a teacher of small children. Here we don't have very large classes on Wednesday night. I don't even know whether we have a children's class this morning, probably not enough children here. But whenever we have the opportunity to be around children, there's an opportunity to be an example. And we are examples whether we like it or not. We are an influence whether we like it or not. It may be for good or it may be for bad. But we do have an influence on our children and our grandchildren. I have a little grandson that's about, a year and a half, Janice? Not quite a year and a half. And one day, my son saw him walking around like this. Guess who I first saw? I first saw my daddy walk around like that. And I thought, why in the world is he walking around like that? But guess who walks around like that now? You're looking at him. I walk around like that. What? And that little grandchild could barely walk. He's walking around like this. So they called me up and told me, you know, I was real proud that he that I set the proper example for him on how to walk. We get looked at. I mean, people watch. Sometimes what we do, pay more attention to what we do than the rules we set. Pay more attention to what we do than what is said. We need to be a Christian example as fathers, as grandfathers, as far as showing our faith in God. And you know, it's not just enough to show our faith in God while we're sitting here in the pews. We show our faith in God when we react to our children or to our grandchildren in a family situation at home. Maybe in a crisis situation, it really comes through that we are Christians of great faith. We also need to show our dependence upon God. And I think that's something that children need to learn. We need to let our children see and hear us pray for them. I mean, even now. I mentioned to one of the boys that he's in our prayers. And his grandchildren are, their grandchildren in our prayers. And especially when they're small, it's good to make sure they hear us, hear of us praying for them, but also hear us praying for them. Be an example. The second, be a teacher of God's Word. Ran across another note in this pulpit helps bulletin. And it's a takeoff on Mission Impossible. Remember that old show? Some of you ought to remember that. Mission Impossible. But this was turned into Mission Possible. And this was a note that a nursery staff thought ought to be attached to every new bundle of joy before delivery to a new father. And I read this. Good morning, Mr. Father. This bundle of life being placed in your arms is designed to have a full and meaningful life in serving God. Your obligation, should you decide to accept it, is to rear up the child in accordance with the instructions found in God's Word, the Bible. However, should you decide not to accept your obligation, the child will most likely self-destruct. The Word of God must be instilled in those children, in those grandchildren, from the time that they are babies. From the time they are babies. They're never too young to learn. I remember at one congregation, I was talking about this particular subject, and I noticed a lady there with a fairly newborn child. I guess you're either newborn or not fairly newborn, but anyway, she was sitting there with that child. And I was thinking about an example to how you show what a child can learn when they're a baby. I said, Cindy, that baby of yours can learn that. You're going to teach that child a foreign language. You ever think about that? That child wasn't born speaking English. If you spoke Spanish, that child would learn how to speak Spanish by you being a teacher, by mothers being a teacher, by the fathers being teachers. So we are a great influence in the lives of our child, and sometimes in ways that may be small, may be little by little, but nevertheless important. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. God, in speaking to the children of Israel, had a number of things to say to them to give them guidance. And not only guidance as far as worshiping Him, but guidance, just everyday practical information for them. Commands, really. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, look at verses 1 through 1 and 2, and then 6 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 and 2. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you bring, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that you mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou settest in thy house. Didn't say anything about setting in the temple or setting in the tabernacle. While thou settest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. What are you saying, God? Teach those children. You teach them all the time. You have to show dependence upon God and faith in God all the time because they're picking it up from you. But you need not only teach by example, you need to teach by word. They need to know how to determine right from wrong from God's word as well as by example. Then it says, and thou shalt bind them, the commandments, the statutes of the Lord, for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. It's like pinning up little notes, little scriptures on the refrigerator door, on the door going outside, up near your rearview mirror. I saw some folks that did that when I was in school preaching out in Texas in order to memorize scriptures. They'd put them around near the phone. I mean, you go to the phone, to the refrigerator, same verse, you know, and put it on the dashboard in your car. A lot of ways to learn the Bible and to teach it. Someone said this, that what a father teaches his children may not be heard by the world today, but it will be heard by posterity. It will be heard by posterity. So we teach by example, but we must also teach God's word and provide opportunities for our children to learn about God and Jesus firsthand from a father, from a grandfather. There's still need for godly fathers to direct the home and give guidance and consistent treatment and discipline. The third B, be there. Be there. What's one of the basic or main problems in our society today? Invisible daddies, invisible fathers. Problems with children? A lot of times it's because of lack of discipline. Mama does her best. It's difficult to raise children by yourself, by one member of the family. It can be done, and many times it has to be done. But this is to emphasize the importance of a father being there. And a bad father need not be harsh to a child or outwardly abusive to a child. The child is abused when the father is not there. I think back in my situation, sometimes in the situation of our men who preach, sometimes you feel like there's not an opportunity, that there's not enough time. Back when our kids were growing up, to spend the time that the congregation wanted me to spend and also the time I needed to be with the children. A lot of times, Janice had to pick up a whole lot of slack. And that's really something that needs not be done. A young man does not learn how to become an older man. A boy doesn't learn how to become a man unless he sees an example of a man. How does he know how to react to a woman in marriage? Unless he sees his mama and daddy reacting in their marriage to one another and their relationship and their life. You know, a father may be successful in his job, a profession, as a farmer, as a mechanic, But sometimes we do our best to give what the material world has to offer our children. But sometimes we fail to give of ourselves. We fail to give the quality time that is needed. Why are there so many fathers that are not spending adequate time? I usually find myself, too, if I'm not careful, being more negative with fathers. And maybe it's because I'm a father, I don't know, than with mothers. Sometimes the work, those of you who are still working and have an opportunity to teach your boys that are working, don't spend so much time, and suggest they don't spend so much time making a living as they do making a life. A lot of times, I remember growing up, and my mother was at home. My grandparents were not too far away. My daddy wasn't around that much, but he was around enough to keep me busy, so, and keep me out of trouble and give me some direction. The Bible teaches that we are to provide for our own. In fact, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his household, he's worse, he's denied the faith rather, and he's worse than an infidel. So it's important that a husband be there to take care of his family and provide for that family. But there is not a need for just one. Psychologists of our day have expressed that there's a need for both father and mother to be available. Not only to help in the physical growth of that child, but the emotional and spiritual growth. Hobbies, sometimes those are hindrances to spending adequate time with children. As I've grown older, I've appreciated being a father more. I think my boys have appreciated being a father some more than they have early on in their life. But as fathers, be an example, and those of us who are older and grandfathers, we be an example there too. Be a teacher. Be one who teaches not just by example, but who actually has a Bible open or a Bible story that's been told to that child and read to that child. Be example, be a teacher, and be there. A little fellow follows me. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the self-same way. Not once can I escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be that little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me, he must not see, this little chap who follows me. I must remember, as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be for that little chap, that little child, that little grandchild who follows me. Children to honor their father and their mothers, and the instructions there are that we as fathers are to be the type fathers who are deserving of that honor. Let us bow. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We're thankful, Father, for the fathers that are here today, the grandfathers, and for the influence that they've had in the past with their children and with their grandchildren. We pray that each one of us will realize that though our responsibilities have diminished as time has gone on for those of us who are older, that there's still some possibilities, there's still some opportunities, and there's still some responsibilities that we have to teach by example and to teach by word and being there for them. Thank you for all blessings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, perhaps you studied God's Word on your own or studied with someone, you realize that without Christ you're lost in your sins. And you're ready to name Christ, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God. You believe that. willing to repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what they did in New Testament times. That's what we're studying about down in our class on Wednesday night, the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. If you're here as a Christian and you desire our prayers, if there's a need to rededicate your life to Christ, why not do so this morning as we stand? As we sing.